The Africa Report, courtesy of Jean-Jacques Cornish. Jean-Jacques, good morning. A lot of attention on Cameroon at the moment. That's mostly, if not almost exclusively, because the African Cup of Nations is underway there. But there are also political developments involving separatists, which are happening at the same time.
Bonjour to you, John. You know, the fact is, sports stories are not sports stories at the moment. There's politics in everything. And I mean, that's one of the great moments of silliness is saying, don't mix politics and sport. There's nothing more political than sport. The African Cup of Nations is underway, and Cameroon, as we yesterday, went into the knockout rounds. And so, you know, they've made the advances, but they've had since 2016 this problem with separatism. The English Anglophone speakers feel marginalized, and they want to set up Ambazonia in the west of the country. And so they've been and the government has cracked down very, very hard on them. But in two cases now, we have a senior opposition political figure, Henry Kamende, and a soldier have both been in another incident, were killed in Bamenda in the northwest of the country. An explosive device was caused to kill the soldier. Very, very serious. The government has not been able to contain these separatists. The Gambia, Tunisia, Mauritania, their teams are based in Buea, where there have been many, many clashes since the start of this fighting in 2016. 700,000 people being displaced by it, 3,000 people killed. So it's a serious, serious thing. I'm surprised that, in fact, the competition went to Cameroon, given this problem, and we can only expect the separatists to increase their operations now at this time, now that they seem to get an advantage from it, and this is the way with kind of activist campaigns like this. This is the way they seem to operate, or like to operate anyway.
I was aware, I'd read the story that Nigeria has let Twitter back into the country, but I wasn't aware of the estimation that sub-Saharan Africa lost $2 billion as a result of internet lockdowns last year.
Yes, that was shutdowns, effectively. You know, basically, when there's a moment of opposition, the government just closes it down. Ethiopia, a particular culprit, but the worst culprit, none other than Nigeria. And so they closed down Twitter. They closed down the internet. Muhammadu Buhari now has lifted the ban on Twitter after 7 months. And he's saying, okay, you can have it, but you've got to open an office in Nigeria. Well, that's interesting. Maybe it means they could increase the pressure on them at times of strife. They maintain that they've been undermining the efforts of the Nigerian government, has Twitter. I mean, many governments claim this, the problems with Twitter in the United States and in Britain, for example. But in Nigeria, the internet experts are saying all that the Nigerian government has done in closing Twitter and in locking down or closing down the internet is gagging Nigerians themselves. And I think governments must realize that that people find other ways of moving things, and it really is injurious to the government itself, and certainly to the businesses, because they lose vast amounts of money.
And then finally, a renewal of mandates for the military forces in Cabo Delgado in Mozambique from all the SADC leaders that have forces there at the moment.
Well, you know, that's another vast amount of money. It's going to cost millions for the South Africans, we understand. Basically, at their meeting in Lilongwe, the SADC leaders agreed to extend the mandate, which is due to expire on January the 15th. They haven't said how long they've extended this mandate, but we know that they're going to look at it again after 3 months. Now, at the moment, we have a few hundred special forces there, and they're fighting the Islamic State in Central Africa. And that is an ISIS-involved or ISIS-related thing. These are jihadis who believe, again, it's a question of, they say, marginalization, but they've rendered Cabo Delgado basically ungovernable and stopped the exploitation of, or the mining of gas or drilling for gas, which is, we've got one of the richest resources in the world. So a country that is an international basket case could become fairly prosperous. But they denied this by the terrorist operations. Now, after 3 months, they're going to review it. And one assumes that if things are going fairly well, they're going to move in some infantry and support elements. and to replace, or in fact to shore up, these special forces. But putting special forces in particularly drains the countries that make that or make those operations, because you know, for every pair of boots you put on the ground somewhere else, you need four back home, and four pairs of special forces boots are very costly and very hard to maintain or even to get in the first place. So it shows how desperate things are in Mozambique. But I think the taxpayers in all 14 SADC countries are going to be saying, wow, we wish we didn't have to keep paying for this.
The Africa Report with JJ Cornish. JJ, thank you very much indeed.